Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome to Radio Islam International. It is our Tuesday Q&A program with Mufti Siraj Desai of Port Elizabeth. We are going to open our lines 011-854-1548. That's 011-854-1548. Alternatively, the WhatsApp studio number is 072-786-1548. You can send in your queries, inshallah, and we will post those queries. We'll post those queries to Mufti Saab and we'll get those answers for you, inshallah. You can also use the WhatsApp line and you can use the SMS line, which is 48855. That's 48855. And if you don't have the patience to type out and wait, just give us a call. The lines are also open. Stay tuned. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. It's just gone 12 minutes past the hour of 9. You are listening to our weekly Q&A program. And this evening we are speaking to Mufti Siraj Desai of Port Elizabeth. Mufti Saab, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
So we trust that you are doing well this evening, inshallah.
Alhamdulillah.
The first question comes through Mufti Saab and it reads, I am currently asthmatic and I have not been feeling well recently. I went to see a doctor that has placed me on an oxygen machine. I would like to know with regards to my fast for today, is it valid or not?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Nahmaduhu wa nusalli wa nusallimu ala rasulihi al-kareem wa ala alihi wa ashabi ajma'in. If you are on an oxygen machine and you are just breathing in oxygen, then this doesn't break the fast. So if you were ill today and during the fast, during the day while fasting, you used that oxygen machine and you just inhaled oxygen, your fast will still be valid. The fast is in order. It hasn't broken and there's no need for any qada unless you used a pump where medicine was sprayed into the lungs. That's a different matter, but if you only inhaled oxygen, your fast is valid.
Jazakallah khairan for that. The SMS line 072-786-1548. Alternatively, you could also call us on 011-854-1548. Our lines are also open for you. The next question reads, Mufti Saab, are we allowed to eat meat when the top is cooked but it's still pink inside with the juices still red? Is it permissible, Mufti Saab?
Yes, that is permissible. We don't need to doubt anything there. And probably the person is thinking about the blood. But even the raw meat that is cooked, and there is always a little bit of blood on the meat, that the fuqaha, the jurists have specifically mentioned in the kitabs, is nothing to worry about. That doesn't make the meat haram. In this case too, if the meat was cooked, it was like underdone, it wasn't cooked fully, and there's still some color of the meat and the juice of the meat, that is nothing to worry about. It is halal to eat that meat.
The next question that has come, Mufti Saab, it reads, Assalamu alaikum, I battle to keep my wudu and I'm 62 years old. How do I handle this situation?
What you need to consider and just do some monitoring of yourself, if you can't keep the wudu for such a time that you can make the wudu and make a 4-rakat salah. In other words, you don't have enough time to make a full wudu and a 4-rakat salah before the wudu breaks, then you qualify as a ma'zur. Okay, the one condition, another condition is that this state must last, or this condition must remain for one whole namaz time. So as I said, you need to monitor yourself. You take a namaz time, let's say from Maghrib to Isha. So from the time Maghrib sets in, let's say you made wudu and you're going to make your Maghrib salah, but you discover that you can't keep the wudu and every few minutes the wudu breaks. You don't have enough time to make a wudu and to make that 4 rakats or that 3 rakats Maghrib salah before the wudu breaks again, then this must last for the whole duration from Maghrib to Isha. And what you will do in that particular case, you will wait right till before the Isha time, and if the wudu is still breaking like that, you just go ahead and make the wudu. Don't worry about the breaking of the wudu. Make the wudu and just make that 3 farz of Maghrib. But now for the next salah, you will be a ma'zur. When the new time enters, the new salah time enters, make a fresh wudu, and with that wudu you can make all your namazes, your sunnat, your nafil, your farz, your witr fisha, your tarawih salah. You can even make qada salah in the Hanafi mazhab, not in the Shafi mazhab. In the Hanafi mazhab, you can make qada salah with that wudu also. And the problem that breaks a wudu, that will not be taken into account. You can ignore that. Yes, other factors will break the wudu, but that particular issue or that illness that is causing the breaking of wudu, that is now overlooked, and your wudu will last for the entire Isha time.
Yes, 0727861548, that's a studio WhatsApp number. Mufti Sahib, the next query reads, if a lady completed her haze and made ghusl and read salah and Quran, hours later she noticed she was still spotting, does she have to reread the Quran and the salah when she is pak?
Firstly, if the spotting occurred within 10 days, so let's assume the lady's habit was 9 days or 7 days, and then she had a ghusl thinking that, well, it's my habit now, so everything is over, and she made ghusl, she started reading salah and reading Quran, and then the next night or the night or the next day she noticed spotting, but within the 10 days, then that ghusl was not valid, and the salah she read was not counted. The Quran Karim she read, that's fine. She can continue from where she left off. She doesn't need to repeat the tilawah that she made, but she has to now wait. And again, if she's convinced or if she feels that she's clean, she got to repeat the ghusl and repeat the salah that was read. So this is if all this happened within the 10 days. If it happened after the 10 days, then what she must do is that ghusl she made was valid. She don't need to repeat any salah, anything of that sort. And the haze will be the normal habit that she experiences every month, whatever the cycle or the habit is, that will be the haze. And the other days, that will go down as istihaza, if there is spotting.
Yes, Jazakallah khairan for that. Mufti Sahib, the next query reads, you once mentioned that it is makruh to read the same three surahs every time for witr salah. Does the same apply to other salahs? Like I always read Surah Kafirun and Ikhlas for my sunnats of Maghrib. Is that makruh or should I recite different surahs sometimes?
Yes, this applies to all the other namazes, all other salah. You shouldn't fix a surah for a particular rakat or fix two surahs for two rakat salah. In the case of the Maghrib sunnats, for example, it is sunnat, that's a sunnat of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that he would read Qul ya ayyuhal kafirun in the first rakat and Qul huwallah in the second rakat. Likewise, in the sunnat of Fajr, he would read Surah Kafirun and Surah Ikhlas, but sometimes he would break with this particular pattern and he would read something else. So we should do this. You can read those surahs and then a few days or now and then just read something else in its place. So in other words, you don't make it a thing that is fixed and permanent in such a way that you don't read any other surah in those rakats. You can read for a considerable amount of time, you can read those surahs, and then one day you just change, read some other surah, wal asri inna atayna, or idha zuzila ilalakum uttakasur, you change it now and then. But most of the time you can read those sunnat surahs, and that is what we say is the procedure. That is why we say it is makruh, in this sense that you don't even change or read any other surah, you stick to that surah as a permanent thing. To do this is makruh.
Jazakallah khairan. Let's go to our lines. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Hello.
Ji, you live in Ayman, brother.
Hello, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh. You live in Ayman, brother.
Malala.
Ji.
Our mutual flexi pension policies.
Hmm.
Yeah, our fathers took this out many, many, many years ago. Now that it matured, what part of the money is halal and what part is could have paid zakat?
Jazakallah khair. Mufti Sahib will answer that. Okay, Mufti Sahib?
Yes, these policies, of course, are not permissible, these insurance policies or whatever. And the way to address this issue is whatever money was contributed, that will be considered the halal portion of that payout. So let's assume the policy now matures and there's a lump sum of money that is paid out. You will have to go back to the best of your ability, try and track the payments that were made in the past, every year, what was the premiums, and probably the premiums would increase as the years go by. So you need to do some homework there and a bit of research. And once you have determined what contributions were made, that is now the halal money. That is the money that you can accept from this payout. The rest of the money, of course, will be termed as interest, and that money must be given out to the poor in sadaqah. Of course, there's no zakat on haram money, although it might be in your possession. You don't pay zakat because the whole money must be given out. The purpose of zakat is to cleanse money. Here, this entire amount is haram. There's no way you can cleanse it, so the whole amount must be given out. Now, the question of zakat on the halal portion of that money. Since that money was not in anyone's possession and the person did not have any access to it, there won't be any zakat on that. When you get that lump sum payout, and once you have determined what is the halal portion, which is, as I said again, I repeat, what was paid in premiums over the number of years, that will be separated. From that day onwards, and that comes into your possession, that will be like the start of your Islamic year on that money. Or if you are paying zakat, so you add that to your zakat assets, and for that particular year, you just pay a once-off 2.5% zakat on that amount. You don't need to pay zakat on the past years because that money was never accessible and it didn't belong to you. It was in a policy, and of course, the policies work like this, that at only a certain age or a certain stage, that money is paid out. So again, remember, the halal portion must be separated, which is what was paid in over the years, and the interest or the excess, the extra amount that is paid out, that must go to the poor in sadaqah. And zakat is only for that particular year. You don't need to pay zakat for the past years.
Jazakallah khairan for that. Let's go to the next caller. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Allah.
Ji, my brother.
Sheikh, am I allowed to give interest money? You know, in the masjid, the lilatans at the masjid. Can I put my interest money inside there?
Okay, Jazakallah. Good question. Let's see what Mufti Sahib replies.
No, you cannot put interest in the lilla boxes in the masjid. You can't put it there, nor can you put it in the zakat boxes. That you must keep separate, and if the imam is there or whoever is in charge of those boxes, you can maybe go to them and tell them you have interest money, and then they will, in consultation with the ulama, they will channel it in the correct avenue. As I said, it must be given to the poor. So what you should do, don't put your interest money in those boxes in the masjid, in the lilla or the zakat boxes. Give it separately to the imam, and then he will know how it must be disposed of, but not in the lilla boxes or the zakat boxes.
Jazakallah khair. Let's go to the next caller. Sister, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
Ji.
Hello, assalamu alaikum. Can you hear me?
Yes, you're live on air.
Okay, jazakallah khair. Well, my question is, I'm sorry, I'm going to speak in Arabic because my English is not good. So my question is, أنا من أربع سنوات يعني كنت مريضة بالحفا في الكلى. Kidney stone. The doctor find that I have kidney stone. يعني منذ ذلك الوقت لم أصم لأن كلما صمت يعني لا أحس يعني أني بخير. So منذ أربع سنوات. فأنا قلت I did ask مولانا. The مولانا he told me كان في بعض الفدية. يعني أنا الآن أحس أني بخير الحمد لله. يعني وصمت الحمد لله أنا صائم الآن أنا أصوم يعني هذه السنة. فهل يجب علي قضاء يعني ما فاتني يعني الأربع سنوات من شهر رمضان يعني؟
نعم.
هل يجب علي قضاء يعني يعني صوم مع العلم أني لست متأكدة يعني فستكون صحتي يعني فيما يخص يعني
نعم.
الكلى.
بارك
فهل يجب علي قضاء يعني الفدية أدفع فدية أو يعني أصوم يعني أو يعني قضاء يعني صوم؟
نعم.
فهذا سؤالي. وهل السؤال الثاني مولانا أرجوك جزاكم الله خير. السؤال الثاني هل يستطيع أن أستطيع أن أعطي الفدية لوالدي؟ يعني هل يجوز يعني فعل ذلك؟
نسأل المفتي الآن إن شاء الله.
جزاكم الله
بارك الله. استمعي. مفتي صاحب the first question with regards to the فدية.
Okay, I got that. نعم يجب عليك القضاء لأنك لما صرت صحيحة وبفضل الله تعالى زال المرض فعاد عليك القضاء وسقطت الفدية فلا تجب الفدية بل يجب عليك القضاء لأنك في حالة تستطيع أن تصومي، فلهذا القضاء واجب عليك لما فات من الصيام في شهر رمضان. أما السؤال الثاني، الفدية لا تجوز لك أن تعطيها لوالديك، لأن هذا الفدية هي صدقة واجبة، وصدقة لا تحل للوالدين، بل يجب عليك أن تعطيها إلى الفقراء، يعني غير الوالدين. يجوز لك أن تعطيها إلى أخيك أو أختك أو غيرها من الأقارب، ولا تجوز لك أن تعطيها إلى والديك.
نعم. والفدية صارت صدقة يا مفتي؟ الفدية التي أعطاها قبل 4 سنوات.
نعم، هذه صارت صدقة نافلة، صارت صدقة التطوع.
بارك الله فيك. Yes, so the gist of the question is that the sister was asking that for 4 years she's been suffering from kidney stones and she was unable to fast, and so she gave out fidya on the advice of the scholar. But now she has regained her strength, alhamdulillah, and she is able to fast. So she's asking, does she have to repay those fasts? So Mufti Sahib replied that yes, those fasts will be repaid, and whatever she has paid in fidya will be regarded as sadaqah, it will not go to waste. That was the gist of the question. The second one was, is it permissible to give fidya to the parents? That will not be permissible. That was the caller that posed the question in the Arabic language. The lines are still open, 011-854-1548, and the SMS line is 48855, and the WhatsApp studio line is 0727861548. We're going to take a quick commercial break. When we return, inshallah, we'll continue. Welcome back to the Q&A on Radio Islam International. The SMS line 48855, the WhatsApp studio line 0727861548. Mufti Sahib, the next query read is a lady reading Taraweeh, and if she feels tired and lazy, can she go to sleep and wake up at 4 and complete the Taraweeh?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. The Taraweeh Salah, first understand the time of Taraweeh. Taraweeh Salah starts from after the Fajr of Isha, and then it will last, the time lasts right up till Subuh Sadiq. In other words, the time of Isha is the same as the time of your Taraweeh Salah, and it can only be read after the Fajr of Isha. So in this case, if a woman feels tired and she read half the Taraweeh, she goes to sleep, she wakes up the Tahajjud time, yes, she can continue and complete the rest of the Taraweeh Salah, and then afterwards she will read the Witr as well. This is permissible.
Mm-hmm. The next question read, can you buy food for animals with zakat money?
When a person is paying zakat, the condition, one of the conditions for the zakat to be the charge is it must be owned by the poor person. It must come into someone's possession. And of course, an animal doesn't own anything. If you have an animal or the animal belongs to someone else, you are purchasing that that food and feeding the animal. That is definitely a good act. It's a sadaqah, but you can't use zakat for that purpose because there is no what the fuqaha term as tamlik, or making someone the owner. This is not found, so the condition of zakat is not found, so it will not be permissible, and the zakat will not be discharged if it is used on animals or buying food for animals.
Okay, the next one reads, Mufti Sahib, Assalamu alaikum, I've missed many salahs and I want to make it up. Should I read my regular 5-time salah and umri salah rather than the nawafil salah and the tarawih salah?
Yes, it is correct that you read your qada in place of the nawafil. In place of nafil salah, you read your qada. But those namazes that are sunnat mu'akkada, for instance, the 4 sunnat before zuhur salah, the 2 sunnat after Zohar, the 2 sunnat before Fajr, the 2 sunnat after Maghrib, the 2 sunnat after Isha, these are sunnah mu'akkada. And likewise, your Taraweeh Salah, they are sunnah mu'akkada. They are the sunnats that are emphasized. You shouldn't leave them out and read qada in that place. You read the sunnats as well, so you read the Taraweeh Salah as well, but the nawafil you can leave out, and in place of the nawafil, you can read the qada'i umri. With your current salah, you read one, or you can read more qada if you have the time. But you should not miss out the Taraweeh salah.
And the next question, a very important one. Mufti Sab, I would like to know if I can read the English Quran during the month of Ramadan as I embrace Islam and I don't understand the Quran in Arabic.
Yes, definitely you can read the English Quran, and there's no doubt you will be rewarded for reading that. Of course, the method of reading it is to read it with a view of understanding and contemplating on the meanings. But keep this in mind, that if there's something that you don't understand, then just don't go to any person to get an explanation or an interpretation. Go to the scholars of Islam, what we refer to, the ulama. But in your case, until you have learned to read, you will be allowed and you will be rewarded for reading the English Quran as well.
Lovely. Mufti Saab, the next query reads, I have Muslim staff and I have heard from other staff that some of them are poor. I am not sure, but I have heard and I have observed that sometimes they do not bring lunch, and I also know that they work so that they can send money to their families in Malawi. Will these brothers be eligible for zakah?
Yes, if you outwardly see them to be people that are poor, you consider them to be poor, people are telling you this, and your heart feels that yes, indeed, they are poor, then you don't need to investigate further. You can consider them as eligible for zakat, and you can give them your zakat will be discharged. If later on you discover that a particular person whom you had given zakat with this intention or with this thought in mind, that a person was poor, but it turns out this person is not eligible for zakat, then you don't worry, your zakat is discharged.
Mm.
But initially, your heart must feel satisfied, and there must be some outer signs that tell you that these people are poor, and you can give them zakat.
See, sir, the next one, a very interesting question and a very good question posed by the listener. It reads, if I walk into my bathroom in my socks, do the socks become napak? The toilet is also in the bathroom area. Can salah be read in these socks? Jazakallah.
Now, if you go to the toilet area, and but before I actually answer this, I just like to also remind people that we should try and separate this. Your bathroom should be separate, toilet should be separate. But if a person goes wearing socks, and you go to the toilet area, if that area around the toilet pan is wet, then you must consider that socks as having become napak, because there's always, if it is wet, there's always the probability of the water around there being napak, impure, and before you go back into your room or before you move from that area, remove those socks, and if the water has penetrated the socks, then just wash the bottom of the feet, because definitely the water that penetrated would have touched the feet and the feet will also become napak. So if that area is wet and you will feel it, the socks will get wet, then you must realize, well, this is napak. But if the area is dry and you can walk with your socks there, the socks won't become impure, it won't become napak. But we advise people not to do this. In the toilet area, your bathroom, have a pair of sandals or slippers that you wear when you come from your room into your bathroom.
The next question read, Assalamu alaikum Murana, is piercing allowed, navel and eyebrows, etc.?
Well, just repeat the question again, I didn't hear the first word.
Piercing allowed, okay. Navel area and eyebrows, etc.
Piercing of the navel, that is not permissible, and nor is it permissible to pierce the eyebrows. The only thing a woman, the only part of the body a woman can pierce for the earring is the ear, and also we find some ulama have given permission for the nose ring. So those two areas, the ear and the nose, a woman is permitted to wear a ring there, but no other places, and especially not the navel. So that is out, only the ear and the nose.
Let's go to the lines. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Rahmatullah.
Jima, brother, you live on air.
Yeah, I have a question of Mufti Saab. Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, you live on air, we can hear you.
Yeah, I have some money, and my son says I want to invest with him, you know. And he buys property, so is that, and he says he will give me a profit. Will that be allowed?
Okay, Jazakallah, very good question. Mufti Saab will respond there.
Thank you.
Okay, Mufti Saab.
Okay, you invest in with your son a sum of money, and that money is then invested in property. Yes, it will be halal. What will happen there is your son will take that money, there must be an exact figure so that you know what percent of the property, what percentage of the property you own. So the money will be bought and you will own a certain part of the property, and from there the rental that comes in proportion to your investment, you will be given a portion of the rental. That is perfect. It is totally halal, and that investment is Sharia compliant.
Okay, let's move on to the next question. Assalamu alaikum. I would like to find out about paying zakat on Bitcoin investments, and most especially when it comes to Bitcoin mining and repurchasing in terms of compounding gigahashes. If I read this correctly.
Okay, I didn't get the second part, but in the case of Bitcoins, remember these Bitcoins, they do represent a monetary value in terms of rands.
Mm.
So it's like you owning rands, it's money, it's cash money that you own, because Bitcoins can be used in trade and so forth, in purchasing things. Therefore, zakat will be wajib on the value that you have in rands, the value in rands of the Bitcoins that you own. As far as mining Bitcoins, that I will have to do some more research on that to determine whether zakat will be payable on that or not. I cannot answer that at this stage.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't hear the last part of the question.
It's what you just mentioned with this up.
Okay.
The next one is, at work we read Zohar with Jamaat with no fixed imam. Sometimes the imam does not wear a topi or his trousers are below his ankles. Can I follow such an imam or should I read my own?
If this is a Jamaat and there's the only imam that is available there, then by all means you follow that imam, you will get the reward of Jamaat. Don't make salah on your own. Even behind such an imam, the reward of Jamaat will be attained. Yes, one shouldn't put a person like that forward. Imamate is a very important and a serious position. And even if it is just a jamaat of people working in the jamaat khana, but when a person stands in front, you are taking the responsibility of the people behind you, and you are like the spokesman for those people in front of Allah. So it's not a small task. It's a big task. And for that, you need a person who fits the description and who has the conditions. But if that person just went forward or someone else appointed him, you come there, you make your Jamaat Salah, don't make your Salah on your own, and you will get the reward of Jamaat.
Mm-hmm. The next question reads, Assalamu alaikum, I live in a shack in somebody's yard and we don't have taps and running water. We get water with buckets by the taps outside. How do I perform my ghusl and wudu?
Your ghusl and wudu will have to be performed using that bucket. Now, let's take, for example, the wudu. How you will make wudu is, you get water in the bucket, and you first wash the hands. You fill the bucket and wash your hands, so make sure the hands are clean. Thereafter, you can dip your hands in the bucket and make your wudu. So you'll dip your hands to take water into the mouth. But when you clean, when you spit the water out, you spit it outside the bucket, of course, in your bathroom or wherever. You take water and take it into the nostrils and you clean the nostrils, but that will be done outside the bucket. Then you'll dip your hands in again and wash your face, dip your hands, wash the arms, and so forth. For washing the feet, dip your hands in the water, take water out and wash the feet. That is how you can make the wudu. For a ghusl, you'll need a jug. And you will have to then use that jug to bath from the bucket. So you need to ensure that you have enough water. Depending on the size of the bucket, you might run short if you've got a small bucket. So you might have to use more than one bucket to make sure that you have enough water so you can complete your ghusl. But it is permissible and there's no problem there. You can make your ghusl by using those buckets. In fact, nowadays, we even encourage people in homes that have showers, we encourage them to use the buckets in view of the water shortage and the water restrictions and the water penalties that are in vogue today, that you are saving water by using the bucket. So that is also the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He used to use the bucket, he used to bath from a bucket, And this is how I explain now, is to use a jug and then pour the water over the body. Sometimes you would take water from the bucket by dipping his hands in and then pouring it over his Mubarak body when making ghusl. So that is actually the sunnah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, to use a bucket for ghusl.
MashaAllah. Mufti Sahab, the next question reads, can a fasting person use suppositories and can smokers use a smoking patch during the day in Ramadan?
The suppository will break the fast because that is inserted into the rear part of the body and it goes up to a certain extent and it's medication, it will break the fast. The smoking patch, I'm not too familiar with this, but if it is something that is stuck onto the body, that is a patch on the body to maybe fight the crave or to break that crave, that is permissible. That doesn't affect the fast in any way. Even if the doctors or the science says that when you put that patch on the body, it penetrates into the body and something goes into the bloodstream, and that's not a problem because there's a difference between the normal passages of entry into the body, like the mouth, the nose, and the private parts. Anything that goes through there will nullify the fast. What goes into the pores of the body on the skin, that will not nullify the fast.
JazakAllah khairan for that. Mustafa, with regards to miswak during fasting?
Yes, it's permissible to use the miswak. No problem with that. Just don't use the flavored miswak. Use the normal plain one. And try not to swallow, because it's possible if you use the miswak and then the saliva with the water from the miswak, the juice of the miswak mixes with the saliva, you swallow that, that can nullify, it can break the fast. So just avoid that, but you can use the miswak as much as you want. The only difference here in the Hanafi and the Shafi mazhab, in the Shafi mazhab, after Zawal, Imam Shafi rahimahullah ta'ala says that it is makruh, one should not use the miswak after Zawal. That means towards the latter part of the day. Imam Abu Hanifa says that you can use the miswak right through, right till iftar.
JazakAllah khairan. The next one reads, Mufti Sahib, if we have a permanent urine catheter because of urine complications, what do you do in namaz times and also regarding wudu?
Yes, a person who is using that catheter or that bag, that person will fall in the category of a mazur because there is a constant emission or a constant discharge of urine from the body, and sometimes you don't even know when that urine comes out and when it falls into the bag. So that person must consider himself or herself as a mazur. So what you do is, when the time of the namaz comes in, make a fresh wudu, and with that wudu you can read all your namazes, your sunnah nafil, your traweeh, your isha salah, your witr salah. As I mentioned earlier on, the only difference is in the Shafi mazhab you cannot read qada salah with that wudu. You got to make a fresh wudu for qada salah. But even the nafil, sunnat, farz salah, even in the Shafi mazhab, Hanafi mazhab, you can read all that. The Hanafi mazhab also says you can make qada with that same wudu. So the person doesn't need to worry whether there's urine coming out or not, because being a mazur, that particular problem is discounted. It doesn't now fall under a factor that breaks a wudu.
Okay, the next one, Mufti Sahib, is a very lengthy query, but I'm just going to summarize it for you. It reads, what's the ruling with regards to musallas with murats on them?
Now, when you say murat, you must, we need to make the difference here, because generally if people manufacture musallas and they sell this to the public for namaz purposes, you won't find pictures of animals or pictures of faces. But if there are pictures on the musallas, pictures of faces or animals that are clear and that you can make out just by looking, by standing and looking, then it will not be permissible to make namaz on such a musalla. You can keep that as a mat in your house to walk on. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he took down, or he told his wife to take down that curtain that had pictures, he said, look, put it on the ground, we can sit on it, you can walk on it, because then the pictures are not conspicuous and they are not being respected. At the moment you make salah on something, definitely that's haram, because you are making sujood on a mat that has got pictures. But here again, I'm saying that these must be clear pictures that you can see. You must be able to see it from a distance. For example, if you're standing from that distance, you look down, you can see it clearly. It must be something that you have to put your head right onto the musalla, then you only notice it, or you have to sit with a magnifying glass. You must be able to notice it at a fair distance. And those musallas will not be permissible for use. You can use it for any other purpose.
The next question reads, we have paid a deposit to overseas suppliers in US dollars. This deposit remains with the supplier permanently. Last year the value was around 15 rands per dollar. Now the value is 13 rand per dollar. At which value should zakat be calculated?
In matters like this where you are dealing with foreign currency and you need to do an exchange, the day that your zakat is due. So we look at 12 Islamic months, and people work from Ramadan to Ramadan, but you need to take a particular date. First Ramadan, 15th Ramadan, 29th of Ramadan. So from that to the next 29th, or from the 15th to 15th, on that day, whatever the exchange rate is, that is your zakat calculation. That is the basis on which you will calculate zakat on foreign currency or any such type of commodity that is valued in terms of the exchange rate.
Mm-hmm. Next one reads, if a person is traveling, is it compulsory for them to read the Witr Salah?
Yes, the Witr Salah doesn't fall away. The Witr is wajib, so your Farz of Isha, although it becomes two, that is the Farz, and then the Witr will remain three, but that doesn't fall away. You have to read the Witr also even for a Musafir.
How do you assess if someone is eligible for zakat? Must we ask how much funds they own or what they possess, or give them zakat as they claim to be eligible for it?
Now, there are two scenarios here. The one is this, that if you are doing this in your own capacity, you know a person and you want to give zakat to that person, you don't need to go and ask that person any personal details. Just look from the outside, from your, in your perspective, your opinion, what you feel, and maybe what people tell you without investigating. And if you feel, if your heart attests to this, or your heart feels satisfied that this person is a zakat case, then you are allowed to go ahead and give zakat. But the other scenario is where you have zakat organizations that help a large amount of people. Now generally, and this I'm speaking now in terms of today's times, you find that you have a number of cases where people might not be eligible for zakat. They take their chances and come and say, we need this, we need that. So there the organizations are forced to do a little bit of background checking and some type of investigation, and they will ask questions, how much you earn, what you earn, where you're earning, do you have family, if it's a woman, do you have a husband, is he working, and so forth. And that is permissible in view of the need in today's, the need of the times. But on a one-on-one basis, a personal capacity, if you just feel someone is poor and the person looks like a poor person, then you are allowed to give that person zakat. Although there's nothing wrong also from a Sharia perspective if you ask that person a few personal questions, provided you know that this person won't feel offended. The person might answer honestly and truthfully, and you can also base your assessment on the questions that you ask that person.
Mm-hmm. The next question is, can you read Witr Salah before Taraweeh?
Yes, Witr is permissible before Taraweeh. Once you've read your Farz of Isha, then the time of Witr also sets in, and you can read it before Taraweeh Salah, although it's better to read the Witr after Taraweeh.
If you have more than one property, is zakat payable?
I'll just repeat that question. There was.
If you have more than one property, is zakat payable?
Okay, now, firstly, zakat is not payable on fixed property, like buildings, houses, and lands. There's no zakat on that. If you have a commercial property or you have a property that is generating rental, then zakat will be payable on the rental. But how? It will only be when that money comes in your possession and it stays with you for one entire year. So if you're getting rental and you're spending that rental out on a monthly basis for your income and your, I mean for your living expenses, that's your monthly income, then there's no zakat. But if the rental is going into a bank account and it stays there and it's accumulating, then at the end of the Islamic year, you pay zakat on that cash. It will be included in your other savings and your other cash amounts. But there's no zakat on the value of property unless the property is for sale. So a person who is maybe someone who is in the property market, selling properties, buys a property, and the intention of buying is to resell it, then that's a different matter. Then there, of course, it falls under the category or the rule of the stock in trade.
Mm-hmm. We'll take the last query for this evening, Mufti Sahib. It says, I have a son in his early 30s. Mufti Sahib is very unstable and angry person. He wants to get married. I'm afraid of what he might get up to if he does get married. Am I wrong in this? Please advise.
Well, it's your son. You know your son. And he grew up in front of you. If you really feel that he is so unstable and unpredictable, and his anger is of such that it can lead to hurting another person, it can lead to harm, it can lead to a lot of taklif for the next person, then you rather first work on him and try to get some management for him to control that anger or to curb the instincts in him, and then you can go ahead and make his nikah. So there's nothing wrong if you have this assessment, provided you as the mother or the father know him well and you are sure that this is the assessment and you are sure that these are the qualities he has which will not be conducive in a marriage, of course. So there's nothing wrong if you think in terms of this.
Mm-hmm. Mufti Sahib, Jazakallah khairan for your time, much appreciated. We hope to speak to you on Sunday, inshallah.
Inshallah, Jazakallah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.